B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to learn Brachos Daf Samach Aleph. We're going to start right at the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara. We've seen in the previous Gemara how important it is to always say Gamzu L'Toiva, and even when things are challenging, don't complain and trust in Hashem. In similar vein, says the Gemara, V'omar Rav Huna Omarav Mishum Rabbi Meir. L'oilom Yehei Dvarov Shel Odom Mu'otim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should always spare his words, especially when responding to a challenging situation. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Al Tavahil Al Picha. Don't be rash with your mouth. Velibcho Al Yamahir Lohoitzi Dovor Lifneo Elikim. And don't let your heart be hasty to utter a word before Hashem. Ki Ha'elikim Bashomayim Ve'ato Al Ha'oretz. Because Hashem is high up in heaven, so to speak, and you're down here on earth with a very limited perception. Al kein yu dvarecha mu'otim, and therefore your words should be few. Rashi in Keheles explains that this is talking about ledavir kosher klape malo. Don't complain, go easy. Continues the Gemara. Dorash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda. Mai dechsiv vayitzer Hashem Elohim es ha'odom. The pasuk in Parshas Bereishis says that Hashem created, He formed man, and the word Vayitzer is written with two yuds. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam b'shnei yudim. There's two little yuds in the word Vayitzer, he formed. Shnei yotzorim bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each yud refers to a different yetzer, an inclination, and the person was created with two inclinations. Echod yetzer toiv ve'echod yetzer ra. To reflect on the fact that Hashem formed man with two yitzorim, with two inclinations, the word vayitzer has two yuds. Maskif Lor of Nachman by Yitzchok. He's going to ask a question on this. Ela me'ato behema deloiksiv bo vayitzer. When Hashem formed animals, it does not say vayitzer. The word vayitzer that it says by the animals has one yud, not two yuds. Are you suggesting less lo yitzra, that the animal does not have an evil inclination? We see that it can damage, it bites, it kicks. So you see that even an animal has an evil inclination. So why by the animal does it not say vayitzer with two yuds? The Gemara is going to offer a second explanation why there's two yuds in vayitzer regarding man. The Omer of Shimon ben Pazi, Oili mi yitzri, oili mi yitzri. It's not talking about the two inclinations. The two yuds, one is talking about yitzri, which is my creator, Hashem, and the other one is yitzri, my evil inclination. Only man has this battle that if I'm going to listen to my yitzhara, then my yitzhara is going to leave me alone, but Hashem will be annoyed with me. If I listen to Hashem, then Hashem will be happy with me, but the yitzhara won't give me any peace. And that's the two yuds that man have to battle with during their lifetime. Inami Kadrab Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. Another explanation for the two yuds we see from Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. Dom Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Elazar, Du Partzufin Bora HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'odom HaRishon. Hashem created man with two forms, with two figures. There was Odom, Shenemar, as it says, Odom. You formed me from the back and you formed me from the front. So it seems that there's a double formation. The one man that was created was formed with two forms, with two figures, and these two figures are hinted to in the two yuds of Vayitzer, and we're soon going to see in the Gemara what this means. Continues the Gemara. Vayiven Hashem Elohim es Hatzela. It says that Hashem built up the side of Odom. Hashem took away, severed the side of Odom. He put Odom Rishon to sleep. He took away a tzela, a side, and from that he built Chava. He built a woman. As the Pasuk says, Vayiven Hashem Elohim es hatzela asher lokach min ha'odom le'isha vayive'er el ha'odom. Which means that he took this side and he made from it his wife, made a woman from it. Rav Shmuel Chad Omar Partzuf V'Chad Omar Zonov. This side that was taken away from Odom Rishon, what was it when it was still within Odom? Was it a Partzuf? Was it a figure? Or was it a tail? Says the Gemara, Bishleim Elamand Omar Paratzuf, according to the opinion that says that even before Hashem separated Chava from Adam, then she was a second Paratzuf, a second figure in Adam, then we can understand, Hainu Dechsev, Ochir Vokedim Tzaratoni, that I had a form on my front and I had a form on my back, as if to say back to back. They were two human beings. It was one Adam, it was one man, but his whole back part of him was Chava, was his wife. Elo Lamando Amarazonov, the opinion that says that this tzeira, this side from which Hashem made Chava, was a tail. My ochir v'kedem tzaratoni. Why is what was at the back called a tzaratoni, called a form? It was just a tail. Says the Gemara Kedereb Ami, the Omer of Ami, ochir l'maisa bereishis v'kedem l'puronus. You're right. And the pasuk ochir v'kedem tzaratoni means something else. It means ochir. Doesn't mean the back of Adam. It means the last. We were the last. Man was the last in creation. And kedem doesn't mean the front part of Adam. It means first. We're the first to receive poronios, to receive misfortune. And the Gemara is going to discuss that. Says the Gemara, Bishlei ma'ocher lemaisa bereishis, to say that we were the last in creation, that we understand. Dole ibri ad maila shabsa. Man was only created on Friday, right before Shabbos. The whole of creation was created before him. Elo v'kedem, the poronio is this, that we are the first for misfortune. Poronios demai, what sort of misfortune are we talking about? Ilem poronios de nochosh, are you suggesting that it's the misfortune that came about consequent from eating from the Eitz Hadas? Votanya, we learnt in Ebraisa that Adam, man, was not the first one to be punished after that sin. He was actually the last one to be punished. Rebbe Omer, Begdula, when it comes to prominence, Maschilin min Agodol, you start with the most prominent person. Ubiklola, when it comes to misfortune and curse, Maschilin min Akotin, you start from the least prominent person. Begdula, Maschilin min Agodol, where do we find that when it comes to a prestigious, a prominent matter, that you start with the most prominent person? The Chsivit says in the Pasuk, Vaidabir Moshe, El Aaron ve'el Elozor ve'el Isomor bonov hanisorim k'chu ve'goymer, which means that Hashem first spoke to Aaron and his brother, and then to Elozor, and then to Isomor, the two children of Aaron, and then to the rest of Klal Yisrael. So you see that since Moshe was teaching Torah, he started with the most prominent person, and then went to the less important people. Biklola maschilin min akotin, what's the proof that regarding misfortune you start from the least prominent? Batchilo niskalil nochosh, because we find that after the chet of the Eitz Hadas, the first one to get the curse was the nochosh. He was the first one to be punished. Ulebesoif niskalo chavo. After that, it was chavo that got cursed. Ulebesoif niskalil Adam, and only afterwards Adam was cursed. So you see that Adam, man, was the last one to be cursed, not the first one. So what does it mean that kedem l'poronios, elo poronios de mabul? When the word kedem, in ochir v'kedem tzaratoni, it means that we are the first for misfortune. It doesn't mean the misfortune from being punished after the chet of Adam Rishon. It means the punishment of the mabul and the flood. The Chsivit says in the Pasuk, Vayimachas kol ha'yikum ashal p'nei ha'adama, ne'odom v'ad behema. Hashem destroyed all of existence from the face of the earth, starting from man to animal. Bereisha Adam, first man, v'hadar behema, and then animals. So in referring to that, it says that man was kedem l'puronyos. Continues the Gemara, Bishleim l'manda alma paratzuf, the opinion who holds that Chava, before she was Chava, when she was still a tzela, aside in Adam, she was already a figure. Hainu dechsev, that's why it says, Vayitzer bishnei yudin, this is how the sugya started. Vayitzer, that Adam was formed with two forms, with two figures. Yes, because Chava, who was the tzela, was a figure. This is the opinion who holds that paratzufaya. She was already a figure before she was severed from Adam Rishin. Elo lemando amazonov, but the opinion who says that the tzela, the side of Adam, that later became and was built into Chava, was just a tail. My Vayitzer, how are you going to explain the two yuds in Vayitzer? It wasn't two forms, two figures. Says the Gemara, could Reb Shimon ben Pazi, like we saw before, there's another way of explaining the two yuds. Like Reb Shimon ben Pazi, the Amar Reb Shimon ben Pazi, oili miyotzri, oili miyitzri. It's not referring to the way he was formed, it's referring to the inner struggle that every man has between his yotzer, his creator, and his yetzer, his evil inclination. Continues the Gemara. According to the opinion that says that the Tzela was a paratzuf, was a figure, that's what it means when it says that Hashem first created man, he created them zachor unakeva, he created them man and female. According to the opinion that says that this Tzela of Adam was a mere tale, my zachor on the keva bara'om, he created them man and woman. He didn't. He only created it a man with a tail. Later, he formed Chava from this tail. But he didn't create them man and woman. Says the Gemara Kadirbavo. Derbavo Romi. Rabavo actually asked a seeming contradiction from two psukim. Ksiv in one pasuk, it says, zachor on the keva bara'om, when Hashem created them, he first created them man and woman. Bara'om is a plural term. He created two. And in another pasuk it says, Ki betzele melikim oso es ha'odom, that Hashem created him in single term in the image of Hashem, in the image of God. So you see, it was just a single person, a single human that was created. It wasn't a double. So that's what Rav Avohu asks. Okay, Tzad, how can that be? Says Rav Avohu, I'll explain it to you. Patchila olo b'machshava livroi shnaim. Before Hashem created before Hashem created the single man called Adam, he already had an intention that he would later make them into two, because for creation to become whole, you need two individuals to be working together. They cannot be one. And the intentions that he would have two at the end, that intention preempted even his creation of one. So the pasuk that says Zohar and the Keva Bara Om was his intention that there would be ultimately two. But when it says that B'Tzelem Elikim also has a Adam, because in practice Hashem first created Adam with Chava being part of a side of him, not being two, in order that later that one would become two, and that would be the purpose of creation. And the Mefarshim explain why, if Hashem originally intended them to be two and actually made them into two, why did it have to go through the stage of them being one? And the Vilna Gaon explains, had they not been one at some point, an integral one, then even after he splits them up, or more accurately, had he not made them one at some point, then had he made them two, they would never have the reason or the desire to rebond and reconnect, that the two should then become one. So he created them as one being. Now they have a tremendous closeness to each other. He then separated them, which was the intention originally, and then the two would re-merge, v'hoyu levosar echad, and that is the purpose of creation. So that's now how we've answered that, according to the Manda Omar that says Zonov, we asked a question, how do we understand Zohar on the Keva Bura Om? The answer is that it's referring to Hashem's intention. It's true that when he created man, it was just one, and it was a Zonov, the side of him that would later become Chava was just the tail. But his intentions were that it would become two, and that's the Bura Om. Continues the Gemara. According to the opinion that says that this side of Adam that was later to become Chava was a figure, was a form, then I can understand that when Hashem separated Chava and he severed the whole side, the whole back of Adam, he had to replace that, he had to close what was missing from Adam with Bosor, with some flesh. He filled the flesh in its place. If you say that the side that Hashem took from Adam that became Chava was just the tail, what does it mean that he filled the flesh in its place? There was no place, it was a tail. Hashem removed it, and that was that. What did you need to replace? Says the Gemara Om Rabbi Yirmiyah, V'itaymer Rav Zvid, V'itaymer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Lo Nitzcha Elo Lamokim HaChatoch, is that Hashem had to replace the point of the incision, even where the tail was, there was a little point where the tail was first attached to Adam, and when it was taken away, that little that place where was now removed, he had to replace that with flesh. Continues the Gemara, Bishlei melemando Amar Zonov, according to the opinion who holds that the side of Adam that was to become Chava was just the tail, then I can understand Hainu d'chsev vayiven. The pasuk says that Hashem built Chava. Vayiven Hashem elikim es atzelo. It had to be built up. It was just a tail. Hashem built it to become a fully formed being, a human being called Chava. Elo lamando Amar Paratzuf. If you say that Chava was a fully formed being, a figure, even before it was severed from Adam, and Hashem just separated them. My vayiven, what does it mean Hashem built Chava? She didn't need to be built, she was already built from the time that she was created with Adam. Says the Gemara, look at Reb Shimon ben Menasya. The Dorash Reb Shimon ben Menasya, my dechsiv vayiven Hashem es atzeilo. Reb Shimon ben Menasya explains, what does it mean that Hashem built this side of Adam and made it into Chava? What does that mean? That Hashem braided Chava's hair and brought her in front of Adam Rishon with braided hair. Shekein b'kroche ayom, in the places overseas, koirin the kliosa, they call a braider bnayosa, a builder. And the truth is, in Hilchas Shabbos, one of the reasons you're not allowed to braid hair on Shabbos is because it's similar to boine, to building. And this is the source that braiding hair is considered building. Dova Acher, says the Gemara, Vayiven, Omar Rav Chisda, Va'omrilom Masnit Tatona, either Rav Chisda or a Braisa, said as follows. It wasn't that Hashem now built Chava, she was there already before, according to the opinion that it was a paratzuf. It's telling us that Hashem, he created her in a formation of a building. That what? Ma oitzer, in the same way as a storehouse. Ma oitzer ze, kotzer milemalo, varochov milemato. It's narrow at the top and wide at the bottom. Kadej lekabel es aperis, in order that all the fruits and the produce could be kept in it, and there wouldn't be too much pressure on the fruits at the bottom from the weight of the fruits on top. Therefore, the top of the warehouse is narrower than the bottom. Af isha, so too, the womb of a woman, k'tzoro milamalo, it's narrow at the top, urchova milamato, and wide at the bottom, kedei lekabel es havlad, in order to contain an embryo that is going to become a child. Vayevi'er elo Adam. The end of that pasuk is that after Hashem built Chava, he brought her in front of Adam. Omer b'Yirmiyah ben Elazar, melamed shenase HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoyishvin l'Adam arishoin. The fact that the pasuk tells us that Hashem was the one who brought her to Adam, you see that Hashem, he was the one that was a shushvinin, the one that helps make the preparations for a chasna. Mikan limdo Torah derecheret, the Torah taught us that it's a proper and appropriate way to behave. Sheyachzer godil im koton b'shoshvinus va'al yir aloy. Even an important and prestigious person should go out of his way to help somebody get married, and he shouldn't say, it's below my dignity. You see, that even Hashem took the trouble of taking Chava and bringing her to Adam and preparing them for marriage. Continues the Gemara. Uleman de'oma paratzuf. According to the opinion that says that even before Hashem separated Adam and Chava, there were two forms, paratzuf hay minay usagi bereisha. So there were two fully formed beings. There was Adam, the male, on one side, and back to back was Chava. Which one would go first? Who would follow who? Who would be leading? Says the Gemara, Omer of Nachman by Yitzchok, Mistabra, it's probable that the Gavra Sagi Bereisha, that it was the male's part that was leading. The Tanya, Lo Yehalich Odom Achire Isha Baderech, the Braisa says that a man should not follow behind a woman when he's going in the street, Vafili Ishtai, even if it's his wife. Nizdamna Lo Yala Gesher, if a woman happened to be in front of him on a bridge, Yisalkeno Lutzdodim, then he should try and pass her as quickly as possible. And somebody who passes behind a woman when she is wading through a river, and naturally, in order to keep her clothes dry, she would lift up her clothes, and it would be immodest for a man to be behind her at that point. If a man is behind a woman in that position, then he's lost, he has no portion in the world to come. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon. We learnt in the Braisa, Hamartze mois leisha, if somebody counts out money for a woman, miyodoy leyodo, he gives her one coin and another coin. While he's counting, he's constantly giving her coins, kedele stakilboy, in order to use the opportunities to gaze at her. Afilu yesh biyodoy teiro maisim toivim kamoisha rabbeinu, even if he possesses teira and good deeds similar to those of Moshe Rabbeinu, he's not going to be saved from being punished in Gehenum. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Yod leyod lo yinoke ra. Hand to hand, which the Gemara says now is referring to somebody who gives coins into the hand of a woman, lo yinoke ra, will not be spared from evil, from punishment. Lo yinoke medinum shel Gehenum, he's not going to be spared from the judgment of Gehenum. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Nachman, Monoyach, who was the father of Shimshon HaGibor, Amhore Toya, he was obviously an ignorant person, a simpleton. Tichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayelech Monoyach Achare Ishtay, Monoyach followed his wife. We just learned now that it's inappropriate for the woman to be leading and the man to be behind. A man should be leading. A Monoyach who let his wife ladies first, that is a sign that he was an Amhoretz. Maskeflor of Nachman by Yitzchok. Of Nachman by Yitzchok asks on this, Elameato, according to what you're saying, Gabe Elkono, who was the father of Shmuel Anovi, who's a tremendous tzaddik, Tichsiv, as it says, and it says, Vayelech Elkono achrei ishtoy, that Elkono followed his wife. Vegabe Elisha Anovi, who was Anovi, Tichsiv, and it says regarding Elisha, Vayokom Vayelech achareo, he arose and he followed her. Are you suggesting that Hochanami achareo mamash? Does this mean that he actually walked behind her? If so, are you suggesting that Elkanah and Elisha were Ame Haaretz? That can't be. They were tremendously great people. Elo, what does it mean? Acharei dvoreo v'acharei atzoso. It must mean that following her doesn't mean he was following behind her. It means he followed their advice. They were humble enough to seek advice from their wives. If so, says the Gemara, Hochanami achrei dvoreo v'achrei atzoso. It could be that regarding Monoyach, he was not so known to be as great tzaddik like Elkanah and Elisha, but if it says that he went after his wife, maybe it means he followed her advice. You don't have a proof that he actually followed her and walked behind her, so you don't have a proof that he was an Amoritz. Omer Ravashi, Ulamai duk Omer of Nachman, Monoyach Amoritz Hoya. According to those, to Rav Ashi, who assumed that when Manoach went behind his wife, it means he actually followed his wife, and therefore there's an indication that he was an Amoretz. Afilu beirav nami loikara. It seems Manoach didn't even read a pasuk in Chumash that they learned in school. Vatokom shenem, as it says in the pasuk, Vatokom Rivka v'nariseo, that Rivka with her maidens arose. Vatirkavno ala gemalim, they rode upon the camels. Vatilachno achareo ish, and they followed behind the man. Veloy lifneo ish, and not in front of the man. So you see clearly that in the pasuk that he should have learnt in school, that it's inappropriate for a woman to be in front and not behind. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, achirei ari, it's preferable. It's better to go behind a lion, veloy achirei isha, and not behind a woman. The dangers of going behind a lion are physical. It's only going to risk Olam Hazeh. Going behind a woman could bring a person to Averis, which will jeopardize his Gan Eden, his Olam Abba. Achirei Isha, better to go behind a woman. V'lo achirei Avodas Kechovim, because going behind a woman, even if Chas V'Shalom he would want to do an Avera, it could be she won't want to do the Avera. It's not entirely in his hands. But following an idol, there, and if a person suddenly decides to do something to serve the idol, there's no one's going to stop him. So rather go behind a woman than behind an idol. Achirei avodas kichovim, it's better to go behind an idol where it's just a risk that you might follow and want to serve the idol, but it's not. But if you choose not to, then nothing's happened. But don't go behind a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis HaKnesses, where they are davening, and not going to the shul, because then you are displaying it's almost kfira and the lack of Ol Malchus Shemayim, as if you don't care about shul and you don't care about tefillah, and that's very, very serious. So, however, the Gemara says, and we've seen this early on in the Masechta, this is only true if he's not carrying something. If he's carrying, then everyone sees that he's going behind shul, and the reason he's not going in is not because he couldn't care about davening or he couldn't care about shul, it's just because he's carrying something, he's on his way. If he's carrying something, then there's no problem to go behind the shul. And this is only true if the shul doesn't have a different entrance on the other side. If there's another entrance on the other side, then people who see him walking past this entrance will not assume that he couldn't care about the shul. They'll just assume that he's possibly going into a different entrance. This is only true if he's not riding on a donkey. If he's riding on a donkey, we're not worried, because people can see that he's on his travels and he happens to be passing the shul. It's not as if he's slowly walking past the shul and ignoring it. It's only true if a person is not wearing tefillin. If he's wearing tefillin, there's no problem, because the very fact you're wearing tefillin shows that you have Yiras Shemaim, you care about Hashem, you care about His mitzvahs, and people will take it for granted that the reason you didn't go into shul is not because you're disregarding tefillah and Hashem. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav, Yetza Hora Doime Lezvuv, the evil inclination resembles a fly. Vayoshev Ben Shnei Miftechei Lev, it sits between the two entrances into his heart. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Zvuvei Moves, the flies of death, Yavish, they corrupt, Yabia Shemen Rekech, and they destroy the perfumed oil. So you see from there that the flies are called Zvuvei Moves, and this is referring to the Yetzahara that destroys the good name that a person had before he did Averus and should have kept. Ushmuel Omar, that the evil inclination is compared to a kernel of wheat, Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, La Pesach Chatos Roivit. He also agrees that the place where the Yetzahara sits is at the entrance of the heart, but since the Yetzahara here is called Chatos, and Chatos is the same word as Chita, and actually in the Torah sometimes Chatos, referring to sin, is written without the Aleph, and then it's really using the same word as Chita for wheat. So you see that there's something in common between the evil inclination and a kernel of wheat. Continues the Gemara, Ton Rabbonon, Shtei Kloyois Yeshloi Laodom. A person has two kidneys. Achas Yatzei Letoiva, one counsels him to do good things. V'achas Yatzei Lera, and the other one counsels him to do evil. Umistabra Dutoivo Liuminoi, it's probable that the one that counsels him to do good things is on the right side, the right hand kidney, Vara Olismoiloi, and the one that's counseling him to do bad is probably on the left side of the left hand kidney. Yachsivas, it says in the Pasuk, Leiv Chochom Liuminoi, the part of a person's heart that makes him do good things, makes him be a Chochom, a wise person, is on his right, Vleiv Ksil, and the part of his heart that makes him become foolish is on the left. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Kloyois Yoyatzois, the kidneys counsel us as we've just seen. Leiv Mavin, the heart understands and accepts the counsel of the kidneys. Loshein Mechateich, the tongue articulates. Pe Goymer, and the mouth concludes, it utters, it expresses, it verbally expresses his decision. Veshet, the esophagus, what we often call the food pipe, machnis umoitzi kol minei meichel, it takes in and out all types of food. Kono, the windpipe, moitzi koil, it gives out the voice, the sounds. Rea sheeves kol minei mashkin, the lungs draw all types of liquids. Koved, koyes, the liver, is responsible for our anger. Mora, the gall, Zoyrekes boitipo umanichosoi, it injects a drop into the liver and calms it down. Tchoil, the spleen, soichuk, causes laughter. Kurkov on toichen, the part of the food, part of the digestive system, digests the food, grinds the food. Keva, yesheno, the stomach, sleeps, it induces sleep. Af, near, the nose, induces wakefulness. And the Braisa carries on, Neir Yoshon, Yoshon Haneir, if the stomach that's supposed to or is responsible for sleeping starts to waken the person, and the nose that's responsible for wakingness starts putting the person to sleep, Nimaik Vahilichloi, then slowly this person is going to die. Tona, in the Braisa we learned, Im Shneem Yeshenim, Oy Shneem Neurim, if both the stomach and the nose are both responsible for keeping the person awake or responsible for putting him to sleep, then the person Miyad Mace, he's going to die very, very soon. Continues the Gemara, Tanya we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Oymer, Tzadikim Yetzer Toiv Shoifton. Tzadikim are ruled by their good inclination. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'libi cholol b'kirbi. My heart, which means the left part of his heart, the evil inclination that was in his heart, has died from within me. David HaMelech managed to kill his Yetzahara. There's a question exactly how he did it. Did he do it with his tremendous learning, or did he do it with fasting? But either way, he managed to destroy his evil inclination, and now all he had was the Yetzah Toiv. Roshoim Yetzirah Shoiftom. The wicked are ruled almost entirely by their evil inclination. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Nu'um Pesha L'Rosha, evil speaks to the wicked, Bekerev Libi, that's what David HaMelech said this in his heart, Ein Pachad Elikim L'Neged Einov, and the fear of Hashem is not before the eyes of this Rosha. So you see from there that Nu'um Pesha L'Rosha, that the one that dominates a Rosha, is the evil inclination. Beinoinim, somebody who's 50-50, he's not a Tzadik Gomor and not a Rosha Gomor. Zeh v'zeh Shoifton, both of his inclinations rule him. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Yamoid liyamin evyoin, that Hashem should stand by the right of a poor person, lohishia mishoiftei nafshoi, to save him from the rulers of his soul. So you see there that the Pasuk is referring to the shoiftei nafshoi, that he's got two, it's a plural term, two rulers to his soul. He's got also the Yetzer HaTov and also the Yetzer HaRa. Omar Rava, here Rava said, Kegoin onu beinoinim. I or we're a good example. We are beinoinim, 50-50. Omar Le Abaye said to him, Leishovik mar chai lechol beria. You've given no chance to anyone else. If you, being such a great tzaddik, Rava, you're just 50-50, Yetzer HaTov, Yetzer HaRa, then everybody else is clearly not going to be a tzaddik. How is that possible? You haven't given anyone a chance. V'omar Rava, says Rava, Le'ibra alma elo l'rishei gmurei oy l'tzadikei gmurei. The worlds were created either for the absolute Rosha or the absolute tzaddik. And we'll soon see that Olam Hazeh was created mainly for the Roshoim to benefit from, and the Olam Haba is mainly for the tzaddikim to benefit from. Omar Rava, Leida inish benafshei, a person knows or a person should know on himself. Im tzadik gomor hu imloi, he should be able to gauge where he's holding, if he's a tzadik or a rosha. Omer Rav, leibra alma elo leachov ben omri, or lebchanina ben doisa. Rav says that the pleasures of this world were primarily created for the tremendous roshoim like Achov ben Omri, who was a huge rosha, and Olam Haba was primarily created for Reb Chanina ben Doisa, who was a tzadik gomor. La'achav ben Omri ha'olam hazeh. Reb Chanina ben Doisa, olam haba. Continues the Gemara. And we're now going back to the Mishnah we learnt at the beginning of the Perek. V'ahavto es Hashem elikecho, v'chol levovcho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol mo'idecho. Says the Gemara, Tanya we learnt in a Braisa. Reb Eliezer Oymir, v'chol Im ne'mar b'chol nafshecho, if it already says that you have to serve Hashem with your whole soul, lomon ne'mar b'chol mo'idecho, why does it have to say that you have to serve Hashem with all your resources? Of course you serve Hashem with all your resources if you have to serve Him with your whole soul. V'im nema b'chol mo'idecha, and if it says you have to serve Hashem with all your resources, lomo nema b'chol nafshecha, why does it say with all your soul? If you have to serve Hashem with all your resources, you obviously have to serve Hashem also with all your soul. Why does it have to say both? Elo im yesh lecha odom. If you have a person, you have some people that his body is more precious to him than his money. That's why it says b'chol nafshecha, that you have to serve Hashem not only with all your money, but even with your whole body. You've got to be prepared to give up your life in order not to do certain averas. And if you've got a person that for him money is even more important than his body, than his life, that's why the pasuk says that if you're such type of person, not only do you have to give your life away for Hashem, you even have to give all your money away for Hashem when necessary. Rabbi Kiva said that you have to love Hashem even if he takes your soul from you. And we're soon going to learn about this now. Tanu Rabbanon, Pam achas gozra malchus harasha. At one point, the Roman government, the regime, the wicked regime, they decreed shelo yasku Yisrael b'Tayra, that nobody in Klal Yisrael is allowed to engage in Torah learning. Bo Papus ben Yehuda. Papus ben Yehuda came umotzei l'Rabbi Akiva shehoyo makhil keheilois barabim voisig b'Tayra. He, Papus ben Yehuda, found Rabbi Akiva who was gathering public assemblies and was teaching them Torah. And that was against the law. It was punishable by death. Omar Lei, Papus said to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, iatom isyorim epnei amalchus? Are you not afraid of the government, of the Romans? They're going to catch you. Omar Lei, Rabbi Akiva said to him, emshel lecha moshel, I'm going to give you a parable, and then you'll understand me. L'mo'a dova doime, this is similar to the following scenario. L'shu'al shayo mahalich al gav anor. There was a fox that was walking alongside the river. And he saw that fish were running away. They were all gathering, jumping from one place to the next, clearly not at ease. The fox said to the fish, what are you running away from? The fish told him, the nets that the fishermen are bringing to catch us, we're trying to run away from them. The fox said to the fish, come, would you like to come up to the land? There's no fishermen on the land, and then you'll be safe from their nets. And then we'll live together in the same way as our forefathers, as our ancestors, the fox said to the fish, once upon a time, before you fish needed to be in the water, we were all living on the land together. It was obviously foolish. There's no such thing. But that's what the fox said to the fish. Omuloi, the fish said to the fox, are you the one that everyone says that you're the cleverest amongst the animals? It seems that you're not one bit clever. You're actually a great fool. Here in the water, which is our life, this is where we live, we're afraid of the fishermen. If we were to leave the waters and come to the dry land, which is actually where we die, there we're going to be safe. All the more so we have what to be afraid of. Afanachnu, says Rabbi Akiva to Papus ben Yehuda, Achshav shanu yoishim v'oiskim b'Torah, we're busy in engaging in Torah, which is our lifeline. Shekosuv bo ki hu chayecha v'yerech yomecha. Torah is our life and gives us the length of our days. Kach, and nonetheless we feel threatened by the dangers and the threats of the Romans. Imonu cholchin u'mizbat u'mevatlin mimenu. Alachas kama v'kama. If we're going to drop Torah and lose contact with our lifeline, even more so our survival is going to be a threat. Omru. Chazal tell us, it didn't take a long time. They arrested Rabbi Akiva, and he was jailed. It happened to be that Papus ben Yehuda was also caught for some crime that he did. And luck had it that he was put in the same prison cell together with Rabbi Akiva. Here they are meeting once again. Rabbi Akiva said to him, Papus, what brought you here? I know why I'm here. You know why I'm here. But why are you here? Omar Lei, Papa said to him, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you, Rabbi Akiva, shenitfastu al divrei Torah. You were arrested because you were learning Torah. Oy loy le papus, woe to papus, shenitfas al dvarim betelim. I got arrested on meaningless things. B'sholsho yitzu es Rabbi Akiva la'ariga, when they took Rabbi Akiva out to be killed, zman kriyashma hayo, it was the time that one's supposed to say kriyashma. And Rabbi Akiva wasn't going to let the fact that they were trying to kill him stop him saying kriyashma bizmanoi. They were combing his flesh with iron combs. And Rabbi Akiva was being mekabel el malchus shemaim exactly as he would every day while saying the Shema. It was the zman of kriyas Shema. Omroi Talmidov, his Talmidim said to him, Rabbeinu, at kan? Even to this extent you're being mekabel el malchus shemaim in such a precarious situation? Omar Lohem, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Kol yomai yiti mitzdair al posuk zeh. All my days I was hoping and pained in the hope that I would be able to actually perform a mitzvah whilst being killed. B'chol nafshecha, filu noitles nafshecha, to love Hashem and to keep his Torah mitzvahs even when you're being killed. Omarti, mosa yovo liyodev ekemeno. I said to myself, my whole life, when will the time come that I'll be able to do a mitzvah in such an amazing and such a perfect way? And now that such an opportunity has come to my hands, I'm not going to fulfill it. He drew out the word echod, as one does when one says kriyas shema, until his pure soul left him when he said the word echod. Yotza baskil v'omra, a heavenly voice emanated from the heavens and proclaimed, Ashrecha Rebbe Akiva, fortunate are you Rebbe Akiva, sheyotza nishmosa be'echod, that your soul departed as you said the word echod, in full connection to Hashem. Omru malachi ashoros lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the malachim said to Hashem, zu teira v'zu schara, is this the reward one gets for being so engrossed in Torah learning a whole life? Does the pasuk not say, mimsim yotcha Hashem, mimsim, the goymer? Does it not say, I'd rather be among those that die by your hand, Hashem, a regular death, rather than die in the hands of man? Omalohem, Hashem said to them, Chelkom b'chaim, Rabbi Akiva, and all his friends who got killed al kiddush Hashem, they have a portion in Olam Haba. Yotzo baskel v'omro, a baskel, another heavenly voice emanated and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, fortunate are you Rabbi Akiva, she'ato mezuman l'chay Olam Haba, that you are ready and prepared to enter Olam Haba. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the mission at the beginning of the Perek, lo yeikal odom es roishoi keneged shar ha-mizrach, a person is not allowed to behave lightheadedly opposite the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash and Har HaBayis, even outside Yerushalayim, because the gates, the eastern gates of the Har HaBayis and all the doors in the Beis HaMikdash were all opposite each other, and standing opposite this gate one can actually see right into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Lo Omru Elo Min HaTzoifim Ul Lebifnim. This is only true from Tzoifim, from the place that one can see the Har HaBayis. Beyond this place, one could no longer see Har HaBayis. Uberoye, and even if you are from Tzoifim and closer to the Har HaBayis, if you're very low down and you can't see Har HaBayis, it doesn't apply for you. Only applies Uberoye if you can actually see Har HaBayis and see your way into the Beis HaMikdosh. Itma Nami, a similar thing we also said from Omer Abba Bereder Abchia Bar Abba. Hochi Omer Rabbi Yechon, who said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, Le Omru Elo Min HaTzoifim V'lifnim. This halacha that you're not allowed to be lightheaded opposite the eastern gate is only B'tzoifim, if you're close enough that you could see Har HaBayis, Uberoya, if you can actually see the Har HaBayis and the Beis HaMikdosh from where you're standing. Ukashein Geder, and only if there's no wall between this person and the Beis HaMikdosh. Ubizman Sheshchina Shoyre, it's only in the time of the Beis HaMikdosh, first and second, where the Shechina was there, but nowadays this halacha does not apply. Ton Rabbonon, says the Gemara we learnt in a Braisa, Hanifne Biyehuda. If somebody is relieving himself with bowel movement in Yehuda. Eretz Yisrael was split up between Yehuda, from Yerushalayim and down to the south of Eretz Yisrael, was called Yehuda. Yerushalayim was more or less the most northern point in Yehuda. More north than that was called Golil. So the Braisa says that if somebody is relieving himself in Yehuda, which is from Yerushalayim and south, lo yifne mizrach u'mayriv, when he's relieving himself, he's not allowed to be facing neither the east nor the west, because it's probable that, let's remember that when a person has to relieve himself with a bowel movement, he has to uncover himself also at the front and also at the back, as we saw in the Gemara previously in the Masechta. And it's disrespectful that either the front of a person or his back should be exposed towards Yerushalayim, towards the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, if you're facing either east or west, then the side of a person's body will be facing Yerushalayim and not his front or his back. Elot Sofin V'dorim, he should be facing either the north or the south. And Rashi says this is to the exclusion of when you're directly south of Yerushalayim, in which case, if you're going to be facing either north or south, you're going to be facing either the front or the back Yerushalayim, and that's inappropriate. So if you're directly south of Yerushalayim, you obviously have to face either west or east. But if you're not directly under Yerushalayim, then you should be facing north and south, not west and east. Ubagolil, if somebody is relieving himself with bowel movement in the Golil, which is north of Eretz Yisrael, which is most of Eretz Yisrael, lo yifne elo mizrach u'mayrev, he should only relieve himself when he is facing mizrach and mayrev, which is the west and the east. He shouldn't be facing north and south, because Yerushalayim is south of him. And the Mefarshim explain why should Golil be different to Yehuda in this point. Why should the sides, that means not exactly opposite Yerushalayim, north or south, east or west. Besides for that, on the sides, why should the sides in Yehuda and the sides of Golil be different? The Mefarshim discuss that. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Matir. Rabbi Yossi allows a person anywhere in Eretz Yisrael to face in any direction he wants whilst moving his bowels. Shehoyer Rabbi Yossi said that this halacha of not facing the Beis HaMikdash when relieving oneself, le'osru ela baroya, it's only true if you can see either the front or the back, but you can see the Beis HaMikdash, ubemokim she'en tram geder, in a place where there's no wall between the person and the Beis HaMikdash, ubezman she'shchina she'era, and in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'chachomim oimrim, the chachomim argue with Rabbi Yossi, and they say that it's asa. Asks the Gemara, Chachomim hainu tana kama, what's the difference between the first opinion and the last opinion? The Braisa started saying, Ton Rabbonon, that one is not allowed to relieve oneself anywhere near Eretz Yisrael if facing Yerushalayim. Says the Chachomim that Rabbi Yossi is matir, and the Chachomim oisa, the Chachomim is the same as the first opinion. Says the Gemara, Ika b'nai utstodim. Rabbi Yossi says that you're not allowed to relieve oneself if you can see Yerushalayim and there's nothing in between you and Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash is standing. And the Chachomim arguing with him only argue when you're in direct line with Yerushalayim, directly north or directly south. But on the sides, further to the west, further to the east, there, even though the Tanakhama say it's Asa, as we saw, but the Chachomim who argue the Rabbi Yossi, they say it's Muta, it's only Asa in direct line of the Beis HaMikdash. Tani Idach, in a different braisa, we learn this a little bit differently. Hanifne b'Yehuda, if somebody is relieving himself in Yehuda, which is from Yerushalayim and south, lo yifne mizrach ha'mayrev, ela tzofen v'dorim, as we saw before, he should not be facing and west and east, not his front, not his back, Elotzof and Dorim, north and south. And that way, providing you're not directly south of Yerushalayim, you're not going to be facing Yerushalayim, not from the front, not from the back. Ubagolil, and the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, Tzof and Vedorim, he should be facing north and south, and Tzof and Vedorim, he should not be facing north and south, Mizrach u'Mayrev is Muta, wherever you are, you should be facing west and east, and that way, it will always be the side of the person facing Yerushalayim, and never his front or his back. Rabbi Yossi Matir, Rabbi Yossi says it's Mutar, Shehoyo Rabbi Yossi Oimer le'osru elo baroye. Rabbi Yossi said it was only Osa if you can see Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bizman she Beis HaMikdash Kayim Osur, Bizman she Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim Mutar. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that this whole prohibition is only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, not in the time of Golus, like today. Rabbi Akiva Oser B'Kol Mokim. Rabbi Akiva says, not like Rabbi Yehuda who says, Le Osru El Baroya, it's only Osir if you can see Yerushalayim. It's Osir everywhere. Here again, the Gemara asks that Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tanakama. We know it's also everywhere from the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi said it was only also if you can see it. Rabbi Akiva says, Oysa b'kol mokim. In what way are you different to the Tanakama? Says the Gemara, Ike b'inayu chutz loretz. If you're outside Eretz Yisrael, according to the Tanakama, they say anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, Yehuda and Golil, you mustn't face the Beis HaMikdosh. Rabbi Akiva says, "B'kol mokim." He's adding on even more than the Tanakama. What's he adding on? Even in Chutz Loretz, if you're outside Eretz Yisrael, for example, if you're in Bovel, that's on the east of Eretz Yisrael, you should not be facing east and west bichlal when relieving yourself, because even from Bovel, you're not allowed to face Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim whilst relieving oneself. It's disrespectful. Says the Gemara, "Rava havashadion le'livnei mizrach u'mayriv." Rava, he set up the stones that he would sit on to relieve himself, Mizrach Umayrev, which means that he would be facing, the stones were positioned in a way between the east and the west, in order that he would be facing north and south. If he'd be facing north and south, in order not to face Eretz Yisrael. Ozal Abaya, Shadanu Tzofen Medorim. Abaya, he changed the stones round to face north and south. He wanted to test whether Rabba was going to change them back, and that would show us that Rabba holds like Rabbi Akiva, that even in Chutz Loretz he was in Bovel, even in Chutz Loretz he was Makbid, or whether it didn't make a difference. All Rabba, when Rabba went in, Taratzinhu, he straightened them out back to the position that he put them in initially. Omar, and he said, Man hai du komitzayli, who is this that wants to distress me by moving the stones round? Anoka Rabbi Akiva Svirli, I hold like Rabbi Akiva, the Omar that says, B'kol Malkim Osir, even in Chutz Loretz, you're not allowed to face Yerushalayim when moving bowels, and therefore it's important that I'm facing north and south, and not east and west. Emir Tz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to carry on the next Gemara.